For this month, month of January, we have 5 Sundays. And so we'll be taking this month just to get the year started off by trying to do what we did, kind of what we did with Psalms, in that we intend to read a proverb, a chapter of Proverbs, every day. And that's only going to take us a month instead of, like, what, 6 that we did with Psalms. And so it's January 3rd, and you just read Proverbs 3rd. So if you haven't started yet, you only have to read Proverbs 1 and 2 for the previous 2 days. It will be my intent, unless it's obscenely long. I know Proverbs chapter 3 was longer than most of our scripture readings, but I intend to help everybody out on their reading plan by having the chapter that is supposed to be read on that day read at church, so you don't have to feel like you have to go home and do it again. So if you would like to participate in that, we'd be strongly advised to, because I will not have time to preach on every proverb. I will not have time to preach on every chapter of Proverbs. As you saw through Proverbs chapter 3, not all of Proverbs chapter 3 actually is dealing with like one specific topic. It's kind of a broad understanding of various things. And so I won't have the opportunity to preach on all the themes in Proverbs or anything. So we're trying to start the year off right by getting everybody reading the Word of God and doing that together so we can talk about it. And then on Sunday, I will preach from one of the Proverbs from the previous week's worth of reading. All right, so are we all caught up on what's going on? All right, so Proverbs is going to be, as you see in your bulletin, the title of this series is about gaining wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a compilation of a lot of different sayings, teachings, advice-giving, warnings, instruction, and oftentimes repeated teaching and instruction to someone about how to live their life with wisdom. And it is fitting that the majority, if not almost all, of these Proverbs written in the book of, and compiled in Proverbs were written and or assembled by Solomon, who is the son of David, who, when God asked Solomon what he wanted when he stepped into becoming the king of Israel, God would give him anything. Solomon could have asked for anything that he wanted. In fact, he was kind of offered, like, you could be super rich, or you could have, you know, be super strong. And he said, you know, what I really want, God, is I want wisdom. Oh, I want to know how to live my life correctly and to live it in a way that pleases you. And so God gifted him with wisdom and everything else that you could ever imagine. If we just leave the story of Solomon there, though, we do miss the tragic part of the story, which is, although he was the wisest man on the earth, although he had a special relationship with God, although he knew the right paths, he did a lot of things that he should not have done, even the things that he says in the book of Proverbs that you should not do. That means we should not, you know, uphold Solomon as, like, a sinless or perfect wise guru, that he knew exactly how to do everything right, and therefore we need to listen to everything he says. But God has put this in his word because the wisdom Solomon did have came from God. And although Solomon seemingly contradicts himself in the book of Proverbs with what he did in his later life, does not mean that what he is saying is wrong. So I don't want you to be like, well, Solomon lived part of his life really well, and then part of it wasn't, so like whatever he has to say, I can give or take. When it's put in the Bible, it is from God the way to live our lives wisely. And I think it is important to notice that even with all of the wisdom a man could have, Solomon was still capable and willing to make wrong choices. I think as we go into this new year of 2021, I think the biggest thing that we need is wisdom for ourselves, for our families, for all of the decisions that we make. We need wisdom. And in fact, James in the New Testament tells us, like, if you don't have it, which, let's be honest, we don't, that we need to ask from God, who gives to all people liberally, extravagantly, as he did with Solomon. And one of the ways that he gives us that wisdom that we need is through the Word of God. And in wisdom literature, specifically even in Proverbs. Proverbs is one of those books where when you read it through, if you're reading it for your devotions or like what we're doing for a daily reading plan, you'll read a whole chapter and nothing will like stick out to you to be like, oh, this is what I need to do today or this week. Because some of them are not, you know, readily applicable to your situation. But then, you know, a couple months down the road, suddenly you're like, oh, I did read that thing in Proverbs. Maybe I need to go back and reread it. Because there is wisdom for every type of situation we find ourselves in with our lives as it goes around in an uncontrollable way. Because if we had it our way, everything would run smoothly all the time and we wouldn't have any hiccups. But the book of Proverbs has a lot of wisdom for us to ride out those waves and hiccups and things of that nature. So to get us started in this study of Proverbs, I want us to focus what I believe Solomon was attempting to compile all of these things for, is for us to be able to gain wisdom. Let's look at Proverbs 1, and we'll look at verses 1 through 7. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning what wisdom and discipline are, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving wise instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. A wise man will listen and increase his learning, and a discerning man will obtain guidance. For understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. So the verses 1 through 6 tell us what is this compilation all about. It's the Proverbs of Solomon, or compiled by Solomon, written by Solomon, for very specific purposes. One, it's for learning what wisdom and discipline are. A lot of us have set goals, or probably need to still. Maybe our goal was to have the goals done before the new year started, but a lot of us will have some goals for the new year as a new year resolution, and we need to be able to have discipline in order to complete those goals, right? You can't just set a goal and have it magically happen. You have to have the discipline to follow through on it. What Solomon says is life is no different, is that you have to have wisdom and the discipline to practice wisdom. Then he says the other purposes of the book of Proverbs is for understanding insightful sayings. So profound things that are told to us, expressed to us, this book of Proverbs is to help us understand those profound things. Which most of Proverbs are going to be those insightful sayings. Then he says it's also for receiving wise instruction in righteousness so that we know what to do that is right. Proverbs is given to us so that we understand what is right and wrong and how we are to wisely practice righteousness and justice and integrity. He further says that Proverbs is for the teaching of shrewdness to the inexperienced and knowledge and discretion to a young man. As you see in Psalms, a lot of these things are going to be parallels. So they'll be said almost the same, but not quite the same, but they're meant to just reinforce the same idea. So Proverbs is saying, for anyone who does not have experience and young, is to say, like, you wouldn't have gained this wisdom by yourself. We're trying to give you a head start here, saying that if you are not wise already, the book of Proverbs is to help you get some wisdom and to help you be more experienced and to have better discretion. Then he says, this is what will happen to people who listen and read the book of Proverbs. It says, a wise man will listen and increase his learning, and a discerning man will obtain guidance. Again, a parallel saying, if you are already wise, unlike the person in the previous verse, you'll just get better at practicing wisdom. You will do a better job of using discernment and obtaining guidance for your life. And then he says, it's also for understanding Proverbs, parables, words of the wise, and their riddles, the things that sometimes confuse us. So he's writing and compiling this book, and as we see in chapter 1, verse 8, and in other places as well in Proverbs, Solomon keeps addressing his son. Now, this might just be a literary way of compiling this book because he wants his book to be understood as like a father giving wise advice to his son. Solomon surely had plenty enough of sons, and so it could have been written to any one of his sons or all of his sons. but it is compiled for the instruction of someone that Solomon feels like he is indebted to teach how to live life wisely, how to go through life making the right decisions, and how to further understanding and knowledge of what he is to do. And then we get to probably one of the most well-known Proverbs verses in Proverbs, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. In Proverbs, you will see this comparison time and time again between those who fear the Lord, who are considered to be wise, and those who are fools. And in one of the Proverbs, it says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So a fool seeks no wisdom, knowledge, understanding, instruction, or correction from God because he has declared himself to be God, so there is no other God. In verse 7, Solomon is starting now, not just describing what Proverbs is for, but giving you a launching point into Proverbs to gain the wisdom that he seeks to teach. And he says that if you want to be wise, first you must have the fear of the Lord, because that is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. And here we see that as Solomon compiles and writes, that he uses three words to talk about wisdom. So the first one is wisdom, right? But the second one is knowledge. And the third one is understanding. Now, there might be some variants of that. There might be some other, like, you know, every once in a while he'll use the word instruction in parallel. And what I'm saying is, like in here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. You see, when most of us remember this verse, it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And it's not quoted correctly, but it is not wrong to say that. That is what Solomon is saying, is that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, but he's going to use these words to show parallelism through his thing. For us, that's confusing because wisdom, knowledge, and understanding don't seem to be the same thing. And I don't know that Solomon is trying to say that they are, specifically in English. He is not, because he didn't speak English, trying to tell you that these three words are the same thing. He's just using them to help us get through the teaching without getting crazy repetitious. Imagine if every time he used the word knowledge, wisdom, understanding, discipline, or instruction, and just chose one word and used it over and over again, we would get so bored reading this, right? And so he's using these parallel things to reinforce his teaching. So, if we in 2021 are going to gain wisdom to know how to live our lives properly, we need to know a couple of things. First, what is wisdom? If we're all trying to gain this wisdom, what is it? What does it entail? And from Proverbs 1, verse 7, what is the fear of the Lord? Because if that's the beginning of this wisdom, and I don't even know what wisdom is, but I know that if I want it, I have to have the fear of the Lord. What is that? So let's start today by answering those couple of questions. And I won't answer them fully, because if I did, then I wouldn't need to preach the rest of this month. So first, what is wisdom? I think most of us know that wisdom is a good thing, right? Anyone think wisdom's a bad thing? No. Okay, good. Wisdom is a positive thing for us to have. It gives the impression that you know what to do, right? When we think of people who are wise, we think of people that we can always ask, like, here's a situation in my life, what am I supposed to do? And wise people know what to do. Wisdom is knowing what to do in a situation, but it is not simply knowing it. See, this is how Solomon is reinforcing these things. See, knowledge in and of itself is not wisdom. But you can't have wisdom if you don't have any knowledge. The first part of understanding what wisdom is to know that it includes knowing something. It means you have to learn or be taught or to learn it the hard way, at some way or another, in order to know what to do in any given situation. I'm not even talking about complex ones, but any situation, you must have some knowledge. You must know certain things. If you wanted to, let's say, build a barn, you would need to know what sort of things are used to build a barn. You would need to know, okay, what kind of foundation do I need for the kind of land that I'm on? What kind of beams should I use? What kind of rafters are going to give me the correct roof style? I know many of us are not thinking about building barns, but maybe it's something else like building a house or maybe fixing something on a car. There is a element that needs to have knowledge. In order to know what to do, you need to have learned something. Then I think, as we continue seeing these words that Solomon uses, is that it's not, wisdom is not simply knowing. Like, it's not, wisdom is not knowing what you need in order to build a house or a barn. It's also including the understanding of how to do it. It's not simply good enough to say, like, if you hired a builder and they said, well, here's what you will need to build your house. We'd all be furious, right? If a builder just said, well, here are all the things you need. That's not helpful. We hired you to build a house. So in order for us to have this wisdom that Solomon is using these other words for, you also have to have the understanding of how to put those things together. You need to understand the situation that you're in, see what is available to you, and know how it goes together. And a lot of times we need directions. I just recently assembled a play cow shed for my daughter, right? And if I didn't have instructions, I would have no idea what I was doing, right? I know what it is. I even understand how a real one is put together, but I'm looking at what's available to me and trying to piece those together. I needed to have understanding of what those pieces were for and how they clicked together, got screwed together, which order you should put them in, which I didn't always do, even though I had directions. So what problem? But wisdom, if we are to gain wisdom for 2021, to follow and do the right thing in our lives, we need to have understanding as well. It's not enough to just know. Like, you can read the Bible, you can read Proverbs and know what you're supposed to do in a situation. But if you don't also have the understanding of why or how to do it, it's not going to do you much good to just know, like, oh, here's a time where I should not talk to answer a fool according to his folly. When the next verse says you should answer a fool according to his folly, it's very confusing if you do not have knowledge and understanding. So wisdom is knowing something, understanding it, but then also doing it. Again, it doesn't help us to hire a builder who knows everything you need in order to build a thing, knows how to put it together, and never does it. So wisdom is the result of having been taught and learned something so you know it. You understand how to use it, and then you do it. Wisdom is the end result of knowledge and understanding and discipline rightly applied. So for us, as we live life, you know, we're not building houses or barns every day. We're not, you know, fixing cars every day. Maybe somebody is, but I'm not. That the book of Proverbs gives you the kind of wisdom you need to live your life the way God wants you to. And the Bible contains plenty of knowledge. It's a big book. There's a lot in there. It repeats itself a lot too, which is good, because that we don't have to only read that one verse and remember everything. But God gives us the Bible to help us learn so we can know what is right and wrong. You see in Proverbs, he talks about for receiving wise instruction in righteousness and justice and integrity, so that you develop into a person that is righteous. I had mentioned this before, and it continues to resonate with me as I interact with lots of people and lots of Christians, that oftentimes in our lives, we're more concerned about being right than being righteous. Here we are arguing the facts, arguing the knowledge, who's right and who's wrong. And we can argue that for the rest of our lives until we die. But that is not what the Bible is here to do, is not to make someone right or wrong. Now, there are obviously rights and wrongs, but it is more aimed at what is righteous and what is unrighteous. And we can argue all day long about the things we disagree about, But it doesn't matter if we are not seeking after righteousness, and wisdom is the application of our knowledge about what is right and wrong, understanding when it is right and wrong, and the discipline to do it in those situations. When we look at that, and we understand now that wisdom is something that we all desire to have, and yet we need to do things to gain it, we then have to ask the question, am I willing to do what is necessary to obtain it? Or am I willing to just keep doing my life as I see fit? To the best of my ability, I try. I don't know what to do, so I won't do anything. Maybe we'll sweep things under the rug because we're not sure what we should do. Well, then we need to go to learning and knowledge. Maybe we know the things that we're supposed to do, but we're not really sure how to apply it. So then we need to work on our understanding. But if we know and understand but choose to not practice that knowledge and understanding, we are no better than the fool who says that there is no God. Wisdom is living a life in God's world in the way that he designed his world to function. To choose what to do rightly in the world the way God has taught us to do. And that is why Solomon says that in order to have wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discipline, and instruction, it starts all with the fear of the Lord. So we have covered in brief what is wisdom. It's knowing what is right and wrong, understanding how it is right and wrong, and when it is right and wrong, and then doing it. So in order to start on this path of gaining wisdom, we have to start with the fear of the Lord. So now the question becomes, what's the fear of the Lord? That's one of those great Christianese phrases, and we have all been taught various different things about it. Growing up as a kid, I was always taught that the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God, but that it means respect, and yet even in modern translations, you see the word fear. It is very obvious that Solomon was using the word fear to describe the fear of the Lord. But I think the intent behind telling us that it was not just shivering in fear, hiding under our bed and hoping God didn't squash us like the bugs we are, is good. That the intent of teaching us that we're not to just be shaking in fear of God is, you know, a right balance of what that understanding of the word is. But then we also have people who think that the fear of the Lord is simply just being aware that God is big and powerful. Well, that might be the very, 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 very beginning of the fear of the Lord. So let's talk about the fear of the Lord briefly, and I won't get into it in case we get into another proverb later that talks about it extensively. But to the best of my understanding, the fear of the Lord does involve a respect, right? Those who have taught that the fear of the Lord is respect of God is not wrong, but I don't think it's the complete picture, but there is an element of respect, okay? So for the kids that are in here with us, how many of you would say that you actually fear your dad? Like, would you like to see your dad angry? It seems like nobody's dad gets angry. I should have had my kid up here. All of us know, like, even if we aren't really worried about our dad, but those of us who have jobs and have people in authority over us, there is an element of respect that involves a kind of fear, right? So even at my job, I have a great relationship with my boss, but I have to understand that he actually has the ability to fire me at will for anything that I've done that breaks away from what I'm supposed to be doing. And so because he has that authority, I respect him and should do what he says. Always. That is the kind of respect that is being taught here in Proverbs, that if we want to live wisely in the world that God made so that we live in a way that makes sense in the world that he made, right? So we now know what we're supposed to do. We understand when and how we're supposed to do it. And then we want to do it. First, we have to have this respect of God that motivates us not simply through fear, but it involves a fearful respect of who God is. The fact that Genesis portrays God as speaking in the world coming into an existence and, you know, God showing up, splitting the Red Sea, all of these different acts that God just does something that is so little and it has this huge ripple effect in creation should cause you to stand in amazement of how powerful God is. And that he has now given you instruction so that we now know what we are to do in life, when we're supposed to do it, how we're supposed to do it, and then tells us we are to do it, should then make you understand that there is a great consequence of not following the path of wisdom that God has laid out for us. The fear of the Lord, a healthy, fearful, respectful understanding of who God is, in that he is the creator of the world and the God of the universe, is how we begin down the path of wisdom. The good news is most of us who are believers, who have heard the gospel, are already on this path of wisdom because we understood the great consequences at hand if we were not to hear and obey the gospel. But oftentimes as we grow older, you know, years pass, we begin to think that we have knowledge and understanding and wisdom of our own that doesn't coincide with the Bible. And we think that we can live our lives because we're saved and going to heaven however we want. And then we get frustrated when things just don't work. We get mad when we're like, but I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do here. Well, you're probably not. Or you're not doing it in an understanding fashion. Your relationships are falling apart, and it might not be your fault. It might be that other person's fault. But the frustration shouldn't be from the fact that we have not looked into the wisdom God has given to us for those relationships or for those decisions that we need to make. The Bible has been given to us so that we begin to fear God and begin to understand how he wants us to operate in his world. And this is the theme throughout Proverbs, that you need to gain wisdom. You need this understanding if you are to do anything good in your life. There are great benefits, promises, principles being laid out in Proverbs that say that wisdom is how you get various things that we all want, but think we get it some other way. So let's look at a couple more verses, and then we'll wrap up for this week, and we'll come back next week. So if you turn to Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6, it says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listen closely to wisdom and directing your heart in understanding. Furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And it continues to talk about that through those other verses. We won't read them all. But Solomon is saying to his audience, to his son, to us, thousands of years later, that we need to pursue wisdom as though it were silver or a hidden treasure. Now, if you knew that somewhere on your property at home, someone had buried $4 million worth of silver, how frantically would you be looking for that? I think we'd all be like, let's get a backhoe, let's burn the house down, whatever we have to do to find it, right? At all costs, we're going to find that silver because it's, $4 million worth of silver. That is the urgency and the desire to achieve that and that we should have with the kind of wisdom that God gives from his mouth. That we care enough that this is more valuable than anything else I have. I'm willing to sacrifice it all to get this one thing. Like the parable of a man that found a pearl and he bought the thing, he sold everything he had to get it, right? That is the kind of drive that we should have in gaining wisdom. To know what is right and wrong, to understand why and how it is right and wrong, and then to choose to do what is right. And like I said, oftentimes we're not really worried about doing right and being righteous. We're just worried about being right. And we stop at step one or maybe two. And we're not living wisely if we only care about knowing things or understanding them. We need to be sure to live them out. And we need to do it with the kind of urgency we would be looking for a hidden treasure. Then if you turn to Proverbs 3 that we read for our scripture reading, verses 5 through 12. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Now remember, Solomon's using understanding and wisdom interchangeably. Don't trust on your own wisdom. Don't trust on your own knowledge, because yours is faulty. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him or think about him in all of your ways. So in everything that you're doing, we need to be aware of God and know what he says, which sounds a whole lot like the fear of the Lord. In all your ways, fear God in a good, healthy way so that you don't rely on your own wisdom, and he will guide you on the right paths or make your path straight or any various translation of that. So trust in the Lord. Don't rely on your own wisdom. In all your ways, think about him, fear him, and he will guide you on the right paths. Don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So there's a parallelism, right? Don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil. Okay? That's what God expects. And this will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. Do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father the son he delights in. So if we are going to seek after wisdom like it's a multi-million dollar treasure to be had within our grasp, we need to do it this way, in that we do not consider ourselves to be wise, we consider God to be wise. That in every decision that we have to be making, we consider God and what he says is right and wrong. We understand what he says is right and wrong, and then we do what is right and wrong. And in that way, God directs our paths. He puts us on the right path. And that is when we can consider ourselves to have learned some wisdom and practiced some wisdom. But it's not because of us, it is because of God. So don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear God. Turn away from evil. Contrast, right? God will never tell you to go do something evil. So if it's evil, turn away from it. You'll be turning towards God. And this is what Solomon says. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. I don't want us to take these as like full-blown literal promises that if you do what is right and you live wisely, that your body will be completely healed and your bones will be stronger than they've ever been, okay? That's not what it's saying. It's saying it's good for you, okay? It's like the exact reason we tell our kids they have to eat their broccoli and drink their milk and take their vitamins, right? It's good for you. He says, if you begin to acknowledge God in every path that you take, understanding that you should be fearful of following him, it will be good for you. It will make you complete. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first produce and your entire harvest, which again, we're not farmers. But he says, with every possession you have, you should honor God with it. Again, acknowledging who God is, the vast power he has, and the authority he has in your life. Use all of your belongings to honor him, to do what he says, to practice wisdom. And then, verse 10, your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. Again, I have a barn, but it's a garage. But anyone, like, are we all storing up vats, you know, and having barns trying to get full of produce? No. But what Solomon's saying is, if you live in the fear of the Lord and practice wisdom, and you use your possessions to honor him, you won't run out of things that you need. Now, I can't say for sure that, like, if you, like, literally went to your bank today, withdrew all of your money, and signed it over to the church, that suddenly, like, now you're going to be a multimillionaire, okay? Nobody go out there and do that. I'm not even saying, like, if you did that, you wouldn't have money. because you probably wouldn't if you gave all your money away, right? Well, what Solomon is saying is you won't lack anything if you honor God with all of your possessions. You won't need anything. God will give you everything that you need, which is a promise repeated over and over in Scripture. Living wisely and honoring God with our possessions and our belongings is good for us. It might mean we do with less, but it will be more than you need. Then in verse 11 and 12, he says, "Do not despise the Lord's instruction, his teaching, and do not loathe his discipline," which is another way to say instruction, but kind of like in a negative fashion, right? We do that in parenting. You tell your kids what you're supposed to do, and then when they don't do that, you tell them, this is what you were supposed to be doing. Here's a consequence, right? So don't despise either the instruction that God is giving you or the discipline that comes when you are not doing it, because God disciplines the one that he loves, just as a father disciplines the son that he delights in. So as we live our lives wisely, we're not going to do it perfectly, just like Solomon. We're going to make poor decisions. We're going to even know and understand what to do and choose to not do it. But our response ought not to be, well, God, you made your world too hard to live in. Your teaching is too challenging. It doesn't sound like what I want to do, so I'm not going to do it. And then get mad when God tries to put you on the right path. To act like a little child that thinks that they're in charge of their life is the abandonment of the fear of the Lord and the path of wisdom. So, for us this year, what is it going to take for us to see wisdom as something worth burning down everything we own to find? What part of the process of wisdom do we need more of? Oftentimes we think we just need more knowledge, because knowledge is kind of an easy thing, right? It's not easy. We told you we were wrong before, but it's easy to be like, okay, I'll just learn something new. But I think most of us probably need to increase our understanding. Like, we know when the Bible says you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't, like, Proverbs 1, like, has a whole section on, like, not being a violent person that murders people, right? Like, we all know that. But we need to understand the consequences of doing these wrong things in God's world, in his creation that he made to work a certain way, and we broke way back when. And then we need to, probably most of us, need to just start doing it. I hate to break it to you. I know it's me, so I'll just pretend it's only me, no one else. Is that we know what is right and wrong. We even mostly understand why and how it's right and wrong, but then we just ignore it. And then we're going to pretend like we'll end up being wise people that have things that are good for us, that our bodies will be healthy and strong, and that life will go well with us. We'll have everything that we need when we aren't choosing to live wisely. We need to have a proper relationship with God that understands he's the boss, he's in charge, and it's good that he's in charge because he's all-powerful. And he knows all the course of history. And so when he tells you to do something, like, how about we stop arguing? How about we start learning and understanding why he would tell us to do that and be doing it? Trusting in him with all of our hearts and not considering ourselves to be wise. Let God instruct us onto the path of wisdom so we can know how to live life correctly. It seems so simple. Yet in life, it is very hard. And so as we read through Proverbs, again, Solomon said that the reason he's compiling this is so that we will begin to learn knowledge and discretion for those of us who don't have any, and for those of us who have some knowledge and understanding to increase in his understanding and practicing of this wisdom so that we can live a life in light of the fear of the Lord and be wise. Let's pray. Dear and Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your gift of great wisdom to Solomon, and that you instructed him to compile the book of Proverbs for our benefit. We pray that as we read it, we would see what the instruction is, that we would not be in this book to find things to try and manipulate what you have to do for us, that we wouldn't take a verse and say, well, you said you're going to make me healthy, so now you have to do it. But help us to increase in our knowledge and understanding of what it is you want for us to be doing as we seek to follow you in the path of Jesus, that we would be considered people who have knowledge and understanding of your world and then choose to live correctly in it. We pray that you would give all of us wisdom. Many of us have decisions and plans and hopes and dreams for this year. And we pray that you would help guide us on the right path of wisdom to be able to get to where you would have us to be. That we wouldn't try it on our own, but that in everything that we do, with all the things that we have, that we think of you first. And we pray that that would lead us into opportunities to share the gospel, to see people come out of the darkness, to come into your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.